Hey, what's up, Toby? It's episode 5 of Process Net, the podcast. We are going to just shoot for 10 minutes now. We've failed.
Whoa.
We're going to go. It's going to be the 10-minute podcast. And, you know, eventually it'll be like maybe the 8-hour podcast. I'm just kidding.
I think that it just, I hope that listeners, I was about to say readers, maybe readers too. Yeah. Appreciate how much value we're trying to pack into 5 minutes. I mean, that's really our goal. It's value add.
So. It's key. One of the topics we want to talk about today is a process that is the new employee conundrum. And the new employee could be a new boss, or the new employee could be a junior intern. But I think one of the, I don't know if it's the best, like it's not the best. It can't be the best. The most problematic, and maybe invisible, like process debts, or just the new employees. If you're a junior, you see it, right? If you're a new employee from the outside, what do new employees, especially executives that come in, what do they say? Mm-hmm. They always say, "Well, at my old company."
That's right.
And that is the start of process debt right there.
I love that you touch on welcome to the company. And at least in my experience, you know, having consulted now for 20 some years, they're like, "Oh, yeah, I've got it right here. It's out on SharePoint."
Oh.
Or, "Yeah, I've got the thing you're looking for. It's on System X." You know, at least in the old filing cabinet world, it was there or not there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's Schrodinger's files. Or what's going on, but you know, it may be there, but I can't find it. And then they tell me you're in the wrong universe. So, but the piece you just touched on, though, a new employee that's a junior resource.
Oh yeah.
Authority, right? We can say, well, this is how it works.
Yeah.
And the earlier they are in their career, you know, myself included, I'm like, I have no idea. Yeah. I've never served elephant at a dinner. So you tell me how we do this.
Yep.
Whereas a manager coming in is a very different dynamic, right? Yeah, yeah. They have experience. They also have authority.
Yep.
So they don't have to necessarily take what you're offering.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear, it sounds like you might have a story around onboarding a manager to process.
Well,
that,
well no, what I, and what I would say is that the junior employees are kind of the canary in the coal room. Right. Where like they literally, and my brother has said this for a really long time. He has this quote where bad process kills good people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those new employees or the more junior employees, they're just giving it everything they've got to follow the rules a lot of times.
Yeah.
And they don't know what rules can bend, right? Like as you get older in your career, you're like, well, they're excited, but like, I'll just let them sit. Yeah, they'll be fine. It's okay.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah. You're like, and then the new employees just running around on fire, just like losing their mind. And you've got and I remember being that junior employee and being like, why are all the old people just, they don't care about this? Do they not see how important this is?
Right.
And apparently it wasn't important, but I had no idea. I had no way to know. But so like, so again, when you bring a new employee in, like if you lean on them to say, hey, look, anytime you see something that you don't understand or can't find, you will find broken process to the left, to the right. You will find it, like you said, in OneDrive. You will find it in Confluence, like all these knowledge-based sources that are scattered all over the place. And then on the opposite side, like you have just new bosses that come in. And the challenge with the new boss, and I do the exact same thing, which is like you come in with like that, just that confirmation bias and that like idea of like what I'm used to, I know really well, right? Like you just that known intelligence of like, which is why they say, well, at my old company, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Right. It's because they knew it and they understood it, like probably like even subconsciously they understood some stuff that they didn't understand. Whereas in a new company, you're learning new rituals, you're learning new norms, new standards, new ways to do things. And so there's always going to be, when you come in with authority, there's always going to be this push towards, wait a sec, I'm going into the unknown. Let's go back to the known, which was the old company, which it won't work in your new company. It just won't.
Yeah. Chris, let me ask, because the other distinction here is, you know, the frame of reference that a new, less experienced resource has. They don't have the context. They don't have the work experience or familiarity with the generic process, let alone the unique, versus a manager who has a little bit of experience. And so if we were to flip this, you know, we all have process debt, and anybody coming in with fresh eyes is going to ask a lot of obvious questions that we don't have good answers for. And so let me start with the new hire. So we jokingly refer to it as like new employee hazing.
Yeah.
And that's not our intention. It's just that we don't know what we don't know because we've been at it for so long. So for those that are listening, they're like, hey, I've got a new guy I'm bringing on, or I've got this awesome young woman that I'm excited to join our team.
Sure.
What is it that new manager could do for that new employee to reduce the fatigue from process debt?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Can I pass? Can I phone a friend? It's a really tough one, right? Like I think it depends on how mature your processes are, right? Yeah. Where's the home for things, right? Mm. Like some of it's easy, like HR, their home is in whatever. It's in Workday, oftentimes.
An obscure system.
Yeah. Yes.
But where they stay rolling.
Yeah. I think some of that is just letting them know that like you as a manager want to know what's going on. Like you want to know where those pain points are because, and I've said this before, where like oftentimes when we run into bad process or bad design, we think we're dumb as human beings. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we are not dumb. It's just bad design. And so if you think of like, and this comes from a book. I'm going to forget the name of the book, so I'm going to just move on. I'll remember it later.
I read the book once.
But if you just think of like doors, like just doors to buildings, like one of the places where I've worked in the past, they had a door that like is like a slider. It's like one of those barn sliders, right? And so, but it has the long pole. And so people will basically push on that pole to push it open or pull it open. And it's a slider. And so like every time, you know, some new person comes into that room and doesn't know, it's just like this embarrassing thing. And like, I think for new employees, they run into that a lot. And instead of, you know, building psychological safety in the team and really helping people like just understand that like, look, we're not perfect here. And especially if it's a fast growing company or a startup, like it's just going to be chaos on top of chaos, but like asking about that and then not trying to change everything, but just pick something.
Yeah.
Like make a home, find a home for it. Where's the home for this? Because we're smart. People are smart. But if they don't know where home is, if they don't know where to go and find, if they don't know the first step, they'll just give up or spend an exorbitant amount of time looking for stuff.
Chris, you just reminded me the door is a great example because we have these virtual doors all over our business process, right? And so one of my favorite clients that I had the opportunity to work with for several years said, I just need somebody to take a first pass at, try to document what we do.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that new hire who doesn't have a lot of context yet, what they can do is capture what they're being told.
Yep.
And then try to put those things into not just the sequential order they were presented in, but then to suggest, is there a better, more logical way that makes sense to you with fresh eyes? The magic in my mind becomes not the first person that documents it, but the next person that comes in.
Yeah.
And now we ask them, whatever crap level of process documentation, we want you to listen as we describe it and make notes about where we're following it and where we're not following it.
Yeah.
By the time you've taken two or three passes, not only do people have a higher level of ownership in the process documentation because their fingerprints are on it, but they also know that it's not theirs to care and maintain for. And so some of the stronger work teams, and you mentioned on a past episode, the power within silos, but yeah. A lot of those, the culture becomes when one leader says, well, we'll get there. We're not there yet. We'll iterate across new team members. We'll take turns.
Yeah. So, well, and some of it is just building that culture of like, I'm not going to answer your question.
Yeah.
Because in every company, Bob somewhere knows everything about everybody. He's been there for 15 years. He's beyond some days, but if you want to know where the skeleton is, you just go to Bob and Bob will give you the answer. Right. But the reality is building that culture around, did you go to this place first?
Yeah. I'd love it.
And like the reality is most of the time we're at time again. It happens so fast. Anyway, what's interesting is that time can, like, what happens for those new employees is they instantly, how are they being trained to learn the business? And I would say most of the time by week four, they basically are finding the internal power structure.
Yeah.
And they're going to people. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is like the problem from a process debt standpoint is it's not going to be consistent. You're consolidating power among certain people.
Yeah.
Right. You're building little fiefdoms versus saying, hey, look, did you check the XYZ first? And it doesn't matter what the XYZ is. It could be Confluence or SharePoint.
Sure. Yeah.
Excel spreadsheet, a Word doc, a folder, does not matter.
On tablets.
Yeah. But it's just, did you go to that one place to check it for? Yeah. Did you bring your CS on tablets?
Chris, I love that. Hopefully we'll have some listeners share stories as we kind of move forward. But I really like that as an alternative model. And it's like, here's the five keepers of our stories and our knowledge. Yep. And so on topic A, go talk to Bob. On topic B, go talk to Sue. You and I, and I realize we're almost at 12 minutes, but you and I are this crossover where we're starting to see boomers. We grew up under boomer leadership.
Yeah.
And now they're all retiring. And so a number of organizations have this enormous exposure where people will leave with all that information in their head. So
yeah, and it's just about capturing that and putting it and pointing people to just that one page, right? Like
100%
of like, look, and these are living, right? These are living documents. Someone owns it, you know, or you rotate ownership, but you just get it. You just build that culture of like, let's build a culture of documentation. And you know what? With AI coming around, a culture of documentation is going to be a differentiator. It's just going to be.
What happens when your learning model is based on how you do work?
Your actual work. Cause like a lot of stuff, it's just a mess and it's hard, right? Like it's an infinite problem because you're always learning, you're always growing. And so you have to have a lot of grace, but you also have to have a discipline and a culture that supports it. So we are done. You're finished.
Oh, bonus episodes.
Bonus minutes. We're just going to keep making.
That's true. Yeah.
So what's going to happen is like our listenership's going to go from 10 to 9. These guys are terrible. All right, man. Thanks for your time.
All right.
Thanks. See you. Bye.